Now, I got one of these magnet things that hold the phone, but there's not a single flat surface to put the thing on in the whole car. There's no flat surface. I would have to put it there, and even that's not flat. You know, where would you put the phone?
But I promise you can. There is a spot. It's always the spot next to the radio. It's been designed for that. And that's a great way to start episode 148 of the Overclock ZA podcast. Gavin, the rig will not fall off this dashboard.
Famous last words. I hope you have insurance. Okay. Don't tell them it's a dashboard. We're in the studio, remember?
The studio that happens to be a 2016 Polo.
Oh, thank you very much.
Was I right, though? 2018,
I don't even know the year. Yeah, okay.
Anyway, yes, I'm Lindsay Shooters, reluctant tech journalist. Actually, back in the journalist setting. Again, I'm
reluctant.
Contributing reluctantly, needing to feed my family.
Yeah. He's doing an excellent job of it, folks, of course. He's writing for VentureBurn.
VentureBurn, yeah, you can catch some of my coverage of startups and venture capital.
VentureBurn, in my opinion, is a website in a really good sweet spot. That sweet spot is tracking all the startup activities in the tech sector. It's a huge business, actually, and Lindsay is now covering that for MemeBurn.
VentureBurn
is a part of MemeBurn. Burn Media is the umbrella organization. Okay, so VentureBurn covers all the activities of the startup. So if you've got millions to invest, go and check out VentureBurn and see what Lindsay has to say about who's hot and who's not.
I think my profile blurb is, Lindsay Shooters is a freelance journalist who hangs out for tips on the at the intersection of technology, business, and social impact.
Oh my goodness. You're like even speaking marketing speak to the people on the podcast. I mean,
this voice that you're hearing is the voice of the editor of South Africa, of the continent's largest consumer technology publication, Tech Magazine, Gavin Dudley. How are you today, sir?
Hi, I'm okay. I'm good. These weeks are just taking longer and longer as we get to the end of the year, frankly.
Yeah, they are. But they sometimes can't take long enough because... we are now at stage 4 load shedding. I was driving through to here and just got the alert from everyone's favorite push notification application that we are now at stage 4. So how does this affect your long-standing romantic crush?
Andre, give it to me, Andre.
He's losing the public right now.
Well,
even the more conservative.
I actually don't think he is. So Andre de Reiter, the CEO of beleaguered Eskom, told us from the outset, I think he's been in the job maybe a year and a half, maybe 2 years, something like that. And he told us from the outset, there's going to be load shedding for the next few years at least, while we try and get the maintenance schedule organized and do the repairs that were supposed to have been done. First, we need to get the money to do the repairs, which is already a problem. He told us up front that now that they're being much more responsible, we must just expect load shedding as they overcome the damage of the Guptas and the Zuma era. And for that, I respect him. For that, I like him. He speaks very clearly, very articulately about what they're doing. Makes perfect sense every time he speaks. I don't feel like he's attempting to hide anything from the public, but Lindsay disagrees.
My only disagreement is that he is not describing or not explaining at all the units that will probably never come back online.
Explain?
Because of design flaws that make them unsuitable for use with the current carbon kind of taxes.
You're talking about those boilers at Madupi and Kusile?
At Kendall and Majuba, and they've all been cited now for spewing too much stuff into the atmosphere.
They were supposed to be scrubbing the emissions as they came out of their exhaust pipes on these things, but that in itself is a huge amount of money. I think the Rater's busy trying to keep the lights on first and worry about the green stuff second. Although you can't really do one without the other. But, you know, he has to keep the lights on first. And that's, I think, his priority in order for the economy to recover, in order for everything else to go forward. So, I don't know. I think he's done a great job so far. And he has my full support. Andre.
You know who doesn't have my full support? Is the company that will probably never reach $1 trillion. Facebook.
You brought up the $1 trillion thing. So, the only two people I put on a low pedestal are Andre de Reiter and Elon Musk. Not a high pedestal, just a low pedestal, because either one of them could screw up easily at any moment. I don't put anyone on pedestals. So Tesla, despite being way behind its own goals, broke through $1 trillion valuation this week. Elon Musk, son of our soil, to coin a phrase from Lindsay, doing really well. I think it's the right call. I think investors love Tesla because it's obvious that Musk has a vision that extends beyond bean counting. And I think that's why they're responding so well. And that's why the price of Tesla is soaring. So Tesla joins the elite club of Apple, Amazon, Microsoft, and Google in the to pass the $1 trillion.
So why I say Facebook will never reach $1 trillion? Because the current leaked Facebook papers are telling tales of internal conversations where they are very aware that kids aren't using the youth.
So I guess we're going to call that under 18, I suppose.
About under 25s, actually.
Okay, all right.
Are not using Facebook at all, and they adopting other kinds of communication strategies, using other apps.
I mean, my kids have never done Facebook. I mean, they're not kids anymore, 18 and 21, but they did a bit of Snapchat back in the day. Now they're all Instagramming is how they communicate.
Really?
Mostly.
Instagram.
I don't know. I haven't checked on
not
them lately.
TikTok.
No, not TikTok. Not when you're 18 and 21 and you consider yourself like a small adult, you know.
Okay. I thought TikTok was just like the default for
No. They don't do any TikTok at all as far as I know. They do a lot of YouTube.
Yeah.
And they do a lot of WhatsApp when they're organizing jaws with their friends. But
not
I think,
Telegram? They haven't migrated
no.
To
I think their creative output, though, is all Instagram. You know, pictures of their friends doing weird things and so on is all Instagram.
Okay. Yeah. That was one of the reasons behind the Instagram purchase for Facebook, because they were already at that stage losing numbers in the emerging market.
So what came up in the Facebook papers? I haven't followed it closely.
It's just that and like how they've systematically adjusted the algorithms, where they've kind of pushed more aggressively in terms of business and further away from actual social media sort of thing. And now with the name change, you're probably going to see a lot more of that come through the business.
So that's the second topic of discussion around Facebook, is that we think a name change is imminent. But because Mark Zuckerberg basically controls his entire company himself, he has pretty unilateral control over it. We all feel that whatever the name change becomes will be something he has personally selected.
Yeah, because he'll be then CEO of that.
Yes.
And then they'll probably leave Sheryl Sandberg to run Facebook and take all the heat.
Yeah. Because, I mean, all of the Facebook properties are under some kind of trouble. So WhatsApp's getting into trouble. Instagram's getting into trouble. Facebook itself is in very big trouble all the time these days. And, you know, then there's Oculus on the side, which is the only one not causing trouble at the moment. Oculus is doing quite well, even as competitors spring up.
Yeah, but anyway. I mean, Oculus is... I think they are where they are because they've had the money to outlast everybody.
You mean Facebook money? In other words, yes. If they were an independent company, they might not be doing so
well.
Yeah,
I don't think
will have crushed
they
them.
Wouldn't have put out the Quest.
Yep, agreed.
I think
agreed.
They burned through a lot of R&D dollars to get to the Quest.
But it's the right play. I mean, I think the Oculus products are really, really good at this stage.
And really, really niche. And I think they'll remain niche,
but they've become a lot more affordable. Eh? I mean,
But Zuck is still trying to make the metaverse happen.
Metaverse is a constant theme now.
Give up, please. We don't need this. We don't want this. Anyway.
Okay, so what else came out in the papers? It's really just about, I think there's some woman who's like the whistleblower,
yes,
right?
Yes, she was the whistleblower. And
she speaks about how they systematically have damaged society.
Yes.
Even when they had opportunities to do good, they wouldn't.
And it's this whole idea of pivoting from a social media service platform into like a legitimate business and ad business. And so their motivations are behind a lot of the algorithm changes.
All about the buck, basically.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. So it's I think it's a net bad for society. I don't think Facebook is needed in the world anymore.
Interesting. Then why am I still using it? But then I'm not needed in the world anymore either. So
unfortunately, I still manage a couple of social media accounts for clients, and that's the only reason why I still have those things. Because even Facebook Marketplace, which I used to like, has now become just a haven of... It's become another OLX.
Oh, I see. Because Facebook Marketplace was a good idea. And the idea of setting up a storefront quickly and easily and having access to you know, the whole Facebook community.
And having it tied to an actual identity.
Yeah, was a pretty good idea. In fact, I always intended to exploit that and never got around to it.
Which is why I think I'm starting to warm up. I'm also getting old. I'm approaching 40 rapidly. I'm starting to warm up to like LinkedIn because LinkedIn is very much dealing with people. There's an actual person.
Yes,
I get the odd spammer. Now and again, there was a very, very well-crafted spammer the other day. The message that he sent was like...
You were actually going to act on it, and then you realized what was going on.
Yeah, it was like almost sincere. And
No, I've had a couple of those on LinkedIn as well. Because one inherently trusts it more because it's, air quotes, at, you know, a professional network.
Yeah.
It's not for spamming at all. Okay.
But talking about other places of market monopolies, Takealot's dominance in South Africa is being investigated, you say here.
Yeah, well, the Competition Commission, I mean, when I was at business school, we studied the Competition Commission a lot and the Competition Tribunal, which is its executive arm kind of thing, and the work they do and why it's important. And it is critically important. So the Competition Commission has got its nose out of joint about the fact that Takealot seems to dominate the entire e-commerce space. And justifiably so. You know, to us, Takealot is basically Amazon in a roundabout way. It's, you know, it's the online shopping brand we grew up with in South Africa. Everyone's had good Takealot experiences. Inevitably, we've had a few bad ones. But between Takealot and Superbalist, obviously, it's clothing division and so on, they've done really, really well. And now I think a lot of people are struggling to get into the online commerce market. And they've sent up red flags, which the Competition Commission has taken notice of. So now it's busy investigating to see how free and open the online retail sector is. Here's a statement. It says, in e-commerce, Takealot is substantially larger than other online platforms and operates a marketplace on which many business users are now dependent as a route to market. I can testify to that. There have been a couple of products I've had where the entire strategy for the company is just to get the product onto Takealot. There are no bricks and mortar. It's bringing in the product, but it's got a route to market through Takealot. And unfortunately, we think that Takealot might be exploiting those people as follows. So some of the other platforms named in the Competition Commission's investigation are, for example, Airbnb, Mr. D Food, Uber Eats, Auto Trader, Property 24, and also, interestingly, the Google Play Store and the Apple App Store. So they've lumped those in there, although those are going to be a whole separate kettle of fish, I suspect. Anyway, so they're investigating the extensive and growing use of sponsored rankings. That means you can give money to the platform and they will push your product higher on the list, basically. E-commerce marketplaces in general, online classifieds, travel and accommodation aggregators. That's how Airbnb gets between you and the people who are renting your house, and they're basically taking a slice. And is that okay? And is there room for more players? Have they locked out other players? And they say that in the investigations, it might come to include people like Amazon as well. Although I fail to see how they're going to investigate Amazon's practices. They just don't have the muscle. So more than 30 companies are giving presentations to the Competition Commission to explain their position. Notable amongst the 30 companies who are not giving their position is Apple. Again, Apple is probably in the same camp as Amazon, which is they don't feel the need to defend anything they're doing, certainly not in the backwater that is South Africa. So we'll see how that goes. I also like to point out that one of the other oldest online retailers is Loot. Loot started off in books, just like Takealot started off as Kalahari.net, which was also in books.
Yeah.
But Loot also went on to then, you know, retail just about anything. Up till 2018, which is the last figures I could find, Loot had still not turned a profit. Okay, so their revenue would grow all the time, but by 2018, they'd been in business probably, I don't know, nearly 10 years.
I think it shows in their website.
Yeah, maybe. But I mean, we all know what Loot is. It's shocking that after all those years, they have not turned a profit.
Because they pissing against Takealot, man. And
and I suppose that's the point.
I've been dealing with a lot, especially now during the pandemic, where e-commerce has just experienced this freaking revolution. Renaissance. So like you deal with a lot of clients on like online strategy and that sort of thing, and everyone wants to start their own shop. And Shopify has made it so easy to start your own e-commerce.
Okay.
And like plug it in. And Shopify has actually now done a deal with Spotify. So Spotify can help artists push merch on Shopify platforms.
I want an easier way to buy musical merch, I have to say. So that
is coming down the pipeline. Uh-huh. Anyway, and just using my wife's company, for instance, she works for Spear Wines, and they started their own online platform. And so she's on the sales side, customer services side.
Did they use Shopify?
They use the Shopify backend and everything, and obviously put their own thing on it. And then I was like, I had my concerns, and I was trying not to get involved. And I was telling her, like, you a big lister on Takealot, so you're going to be competing against them. And Takealot, one thing Takealot has set the example.
The bar, yeah.
Well, set the bar for what people expect in terms of delivery times, exactly. In terms of...
Exactly. So if you want to come with your offering, you have to at least match people's expectations created by Takealot.
Yes. Yeah. Mm. And that's incredibly difficult.
Yeah. Because they've got the scale, and also they've had endless amounts of money pumped into it over the years in order to achieve that position. I mean, one theory was that they were either trying to get so big so that Amazon would struggle to come in, or it wouldn't be worth their while, perhaps, or they were trying to get nice and fat so that when Amazon came, they would buy them outright, and that would repay all the money they'd spent building Takealot. One of those two options. Either we try and sell up the market so Amazon can't get in, unlikely, or we make ourselves big and fat so that when Amazon comes, they pay out billions to acquire us. So that's the other theory. So I had another shopping experience with a shop called GWiz. It's spelled exactly as it sounds. There's no H in the Wiz. It's GEEWIZ, Kozar. And I poked around on this website. I wrote a little bit about it. And I struggled a bit with the website. I'm right now in the middle of a purchase, but my purchase won't go through for reasons I don't even understand. And I was getting a little bit annoyed with the whole site and everything, and then I decided to check my experience against my friends and colleagues, and they had had exactly the opposite experience to me. They had excellent shopping experiences on GWiz. So now I have to go back and review what I'm doing wrong, since they all say they would definitely shop there again. So GWiz is a new online retailer, heavily weighted for electronics. I just thought I'd throw that out.
Yeah, but you have like serious issues with online payments and that sort of stuff.
Yeah, I'm not savvy.
But that's another thing where that whole experience is akin to the retail experience, the physical retail experience.
Okay.
Takealot has refined that process so much that you cannot come with a substandard experience.
Yes. So things have got to be frictionless, they've got to be secure, they've got to be reliable, predictable, intuitive, and Takealot got all that right. Obviously, they didn't get it all right off. They obviously learned from how e-commerce developed elsewhere in the world and how the South African consumer works.
And on that point, I just want to make a correction. When we spoke about the Department of Justice's ransomware attack, the MojoPay that was part of that whole data breach is their in-house financial management service.
Okay.
Where they, I think they administrate the payments, the maintenance payments.
Oh, okay.
Through that, and not the same as the MojoPay digital payments application that launched earlier this month, which is done by, I think it's called Afrinova Digital.
Okay.
Is the startup, and it used to be called Digital Token or DigiToken.
Okay.
It's now like a full service, almost like VodaPay is.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So it's completely locally developed IP. So it shares a name, which is very unfortunate.
You know, exactly the same name. I mean, I have this problem with cryptocurrencies. They're just splintering. They're all over the place. You can't keep track of who's big and who's small and who's reliable and who's not. And I'm having the same problem with the payments market. There's just so many different payment methods now. And Lindsay, of course, feels duty-bound to be on top of just about all the payment methods. So he's Samsung Pay, and he's tapping his card, and he's snap scanning, and he's Fitbit paying. What's it called?
Fitbit Pay.
And if he had a Garmin on, he'd probably be doing Garmin Pay, and so on and so on. So this is Lindsay's life. He's just big on payment options. Me, I just like, let me just tap this card. It's just so much easier, you know. So Lindsay asks what payment systems apps I use. I don't. Once or twice I've used the standard bank app. It works kind of semi-okay. It's just so much easier for me to tap my damn credit card, I have to say.
Yeah, but what if you don't have your credit card with you?
It's a flat piece of plastic. I mean, I can slip it into the back of the phone. I could actually tap the phone, the card in the back of the phone, you know, slipped in between the cover and the phone, I could tap the phone onto the POS terminal and, you know, get the same result.
Okay.
Without doing anything.
Okay. Know? Yeah, okay. That's because Google Pay hasn't moved in yet and MasterCard still refuses to properly support.
Okay. Apple My Pay. Point is that Lindsay's all on people's ass if they don't support the one exotic product that he wants to use on that day.
I just want MasterCard to support Apple Pay. That's all I want, Kevin. That's all right. Literally all I want in life.
So your view is that MasterCard is definitely lagging behind Visa in supporting these things. I just wonder why. Presumably it's not MasterCard South Africa. It must be MasterCard globally that's
no,
an issue.
No, because there's MasterCards that are compatible with Apple Pay in the States, in other markets, just South Africa. I don't know. Okay. I mean, wasting people's time.
Yeah, sure.
Talking about phones and Take a Lot. Uh-huh. Bizarrely, Take a Lot has a lovely little bundle going on, Gavin. 14,000 rand nets you.
Okay.
The Xiaomi 11T Pro. The top-end flagship. So Snapdragon 888, 108 megapixel camera, 120 watts fast charging, 120 hertz refresh rate, Quad HD AMOLED display.
And reeling off the specs.
And
yes,
the Roomba, the robot mop
thing. That is hectic.
For 14K, dude.
Because that mop is worth nearly 14K on its own, I believe. No, maybe it's about 5 or 6.
Yeah. I don't know. So I haven't priced the robot.
The robot mop is really interesting. Remember, is it a Roomba or is it a Xiaomi robot mop?
It's a Xiaomi.
A Xiaomi robot mop. Okay, how it works is you've all seen the vacuum cleaners that go around with the little brushes and brush up the dirt. The mop sprays liquid ahead of itself and then buffs your floor as it goes. How clever is that? Okay, so it's got a little container you fill up with the liquid, goes around, sprays and buffs your floor. Jolly clever. And you're getting that bundled with the Xiaomi 11T Pro, where Lindsay's just reeled off all those specs. If you don't follow phone specs closely, understand that this is top of the top spec. The Snapdragon 888 is the fastest mass-produced Qualcomm chip at the moment. It's going into only the very top end phones, and for a 4,000 for your 4,000 rand price tag, you're
14.
Getting 14. Sorry, 14. You're getting the top spec
and a robot mop
thrown in. Xiaomi very aggressive in the market now. We're big Xiaomi fans. I am personally not just the phones, all the products.
I don't know. I'm having a bad experience with Android. I'm getting, starting to sour in my mouth. Just the splintering of Android, the different permutations, the different, like the Xiaomi's way of handling Android is wildly different to Samsung's skin.
Mm-hmm.
And which is different to, getting a bit crazy at the moment.
So everyone's got the Android core and then they put their skin over it. But that skin moves things around in the menu system and it changes how the gestures work. It can change so many things on the phone that, you know, from one phone to the next, the entire interaction with it will change completely. But of course, that's just us because we change in phones every week. Most people will buy the phone, get used to it and use it for 2 years, get used to it all. Get a new phone, go through a month of teething, and then, you know, just operate that one as efficiently as the previous. So it's just us who notices the subtle differences in Android from phone to phone.
Like, if you're wanting high-end Android, please do go for that. That is an amazing price.
An amazing phone.
You're not going to get that spec at a lower price point.
Okay, but we got the final word on this from Nikki, main marketing representative for Xiaomi in South Africa at the moment, and let's hear what she says.
Hi, this is Nicola Nell, marketing manager for Xiaomi South Africa. The much anticipated Xiaomi 11T Pro has just launched and is the first flagship Xiaomi smartphone to hit South African shores. Every bit of tech packed into the 11T Pro is focused on two things: elevating your photography and videography experience and performing at a level that is super quick, slick and seamless.
Just rattling off a couple of quick things. TCL.
Yeah, now if you spend time on tech websites, especially product sites, you will see the TCL brand come up in every lineup of Sirius TVs. TCL is a Sirius TV supplier all around the world, and now it's in South Africa. And their first offerings are three pretty good-looking sets. I don't have the prices. They're all running Google or Android TV operating system. They've got QLEDs and full HDR and various other things, all different sizes. We'll come back to you with a whole lot more detail on that next week when we've spoken to the marketing manager for TCL in South Africa, who's quite keen to tell us about what they're up to.
I'm very, very excited to see how they're going to keep their prices low without having like local assembly.
Yeah, because all the other major competitors do local assembly. Hisense, even Samsung now does local assembly. Even LG now does local assembly. The reason they do local assembly is partly because they can create jobs and it becomes a whole tax write-off, but also because the import taxes on a whole TV versus a TV screen are vastly different. So it pays them to actually make these up in South Africa, but they bring in all the components separately from overseas.
Yeah, and then they get tax write-offs and the import duties are not,
vastly different. Okay, so
I just repeated everything you said in more simple language. I'm so sorry, but this is South Africa's most accessible consumer technology podcast. Gavin, you wanting to understand why your ears are getting old?
Yeah, no, I don't know if this was, I thought I would run this by you to see if you'd had an experience. I've been a big fan of the Samsung Buds series for a while. It started as Samsung Buds, and then it became Buds Plus, and then it became Buds Pro, and then it became Buds Live, and many other things. But the set I've been using for cooking and generally missioning around the house, gardening, and so on, is the Samsung Buds Plus. And I had some problems with them recently, and now, when I wear them, I just cannot get them to go loud enough, no matter what I do. So at full volume, and even with the app downloaded and the graphic equalizer optimized, they're just too soft. And there's actually no way to improve that situation.
When last have you cleaned them?
You mean my ears or the buds?
The buds.
Okay, I could maybe look at that. But I don't think that's what it is. Anyway, I was just wanting to share my frustration about being unable to make anything go louder. You know, with a amplifier, you can just turn the volume up and it just keeps getting louder kind of thing. But once you've reached maximum volume on the phone and on the buds, there's nothing else you can do. And that's as loud as it gets. So it could be that my hearing is becoming more significantly impaired. And I have spent more years than most in small underground basements with huge speakers. But just to share my frustration around not being able to make anything get louder.
But you're big into your sound, and you like have a sophisticated hi-fi system at home that you've dusted off now that the kids aren't at home as much anymore.
Yeah, that's right. As soon as the kids I can't wait for the wife to go out to extended yoga workshops, because then I can have hours and hours to listen to my hi-fi, something I haven't been able to do for 20 years while having children. So the problem now is that you really have got all the phone, all the music on the phone or on the tablet or wherever you keep your Spotify, wherever you keep your downloads. And now you need to pipe that into old-fashioned hi-fi, which is completely non-digital. It's entirely analog. But I don't just want to plug a headphone jack into the phone, because what happens then is that the sound quality is determined by the audio chips in the phone, which are not really designed to be played through a hi-fi, especially not a serious hi-fi. So I'm trying to get the digital file from the phone onto my DAC, which is a digital to analog converter, which is a specialized piece of equipment that takes your digital stream of data and turns it into sound. But I cannot get the digital feed off the phone into the DAC. It's just become immensely complicated. So what I'm getting is a Bluetooth receiver with aptX low latency. So now I can Bluetooth to this receiver and the receiver will pipe the music into the hi-fi. But I was very concerned about how the sound was going to be degraded over Bluetooth, which is why I had to get one with aptX support, which is now Qualcomm's version of optimizing sound files for Bluetooth. Yeah.
Yeah. Now the sample rate, I think on that, I don't think it gets up to 900.
But it gets pretty high.
The way LDAC
should be close to CD quality.
Yeah, no, you'll definitely surpass CD quality on that.
So the main thing is I don't want to be saddled with the audio output from the phone itself. I want the file, the digital stream to come from the phone, but I want it to be decoded into analog by a dedicated piece of equipment, which is specializing in converting digital to analog. So to do that, I'm using a Bluetooth receiver and high quality Bluetooth transfer. That's my plan.
Because if you were outputting, even if you're outputting through the USB port, you are still then at the mercy of, at least on the Android side, Google's or Android's own baked-in sound controllers.
Yes, all these things. So the idea is to try and bypass all that, which you can do easily on a PC. You can just take a USB into the side of a PC, and out comes your digital sound, and then it gets converted elsewhere.
Yeah.
You know.
My question to you is, what are you? Are you trying to stream from like Tidal?
Yes. Or whichever. Spotify has now Apple gotten Music. Pretty high. Or Apple Music on a bad day. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Okay. Enough of that.
I was actually having this conversation with somebody. Just slight sidebar. The question was, she is a Cape Town resident, and she discovered the beauty of Joburg Radio. I don't even know which radio station I was listening to, and then she was like, "Yeah, but how do I stream it in my car?" And I was like, "Oh, you have an iPhone, so if you use Apple Music, all the radio stations like TuneIn is piped like straight directly into like Apple Music,
right.
So you don't have to deal with the
a third party app
inevitable issues of not having a TuneIn account and trying to stream it for free. Where it just stops sometimes midstream.
I'd have ads and things covered on top of it. Yeah, yeah.
And she was like, "Oh no, I use Spotify." So I was like, "This is an opportunity for you to reevaluate all your life choices."
Okay, man, I'm still a Spotify fanboy, I have to say.
I don't understand why, Gavin.
Yeah.
It just lacks so much, and it's ruining the podcast.
Although the wife put on a lo-fi playlist. She was listening to lo-fi playlists from Spotify, and then she listened to one on Apple, and it was infinitely better. And I have to concede, it was a great lo-fi moment, that when we listening to her Apple Music lo-fi playlist.
Slowly we will bring you around. So how much do these Bluetooth things cost?
Receivers. You can get like cheap ones for 180, 200 rand, but there you're probably not going to get the aptX function.
You get
function.
What you pay for.
Yeah, you're not going to get the aptX function. What's great about them is that most of them are not only receivers, but also transmitters. What that means is if you have a TV that doesn't have Bluetooth, you can take the CV sound into your little receiver transmitter that you've got, and it will transmit Bluetooth to your headphones so you can watch TV on any headphones of your choice if your TV doesn't do Bluetooth natively. So that's for the transmitting, but the receiving, I've explained to you, will come from your phone to the receiver and into the hi-fi. And those start at 300 Rand, but they go all the way up to 30,000 Rand if you're an audiophile. But I think the sweet spot is somewhere between 500 and 1,000 Rand to get a high quality receiver. I like Logitech. I like Ugreen.
Ugreen makes some seriously good.
Yeah, they make some really good
price
gear. Yeah. So I'm experimenting at the moment. So I'm using an Astrum, which I have on review. I'm a big fan of Astrum as the affordable option on peripherals and things. They're just above the sort of cheap-ass quality. You know, they're a little bit
ahead of Volcano.
Yes, for example. I have to say, Volcano, avoid Volcano as much as you can, guys. I know it looks fine in the store. It's not fine.
I have a Ugreen power delivery charging brick with a USB-C output and a USB-A output as well. And, you know, when you like, you're just waiting for the thing to explode. It hasn't exploded yet, and it's right next to my head at my bed.
Christ, so I don't know how you do that, dude. I mean, the fact that you have these things next to your head at night when you're sleeping explains a lot about you, dude. I've noticed your decline.
I haven't noticed any decline, so I can
but of course
say
you would
safely that it's quite a good product.
Okay, that's, I mean, the only other thing I wanted to talk about was the Huawei Watch 3.
Which you are wearing.
Which I'm wearing.
Does it feel like a luxury watch, Gavin? I haven't had many luxury watches around my wrist.
I mean, I don't know what titanium feels like, but this is obviously what titanium feels like. Looks a lot like steel, but I know that it's space age material. Titanium. I don't know why they would put a leather strap on a phone that has so
on
a watch that has so many sport functions.
Because it's
sweating onto leather straps.
It's supposed to look premium. It's supposed to be.
Yeah, but sweating onto leather straps is just bad, bad, bad. So presumably you can get other straps with it too. In fact, yes. I know you can. But
it has a pretty standard watch pin situation.
Yes, you could put on all sorts of other straps, including those from Huawei. You could use silicone or whatever, but it ships this premium one. So this is the Watch 3 Pro, I believe.
Yes.
And it's interesting, it now has a crown on it, which I don't approve of.
Yeah.
The crown is the sort of thing you'll find on the Apple Watch, for example. It's what traditional watches had for, winding. So you can use this to operate the Watch It Now has a very similar
Apple Watch interface. It looks exactly like the Apple Watch's interface.
It throws a whole screen of little icons to you, and then you zoom in with the crown, and you pick the app you want, which is much better than having to navigate through all the apps to find the one you want. So
that's exactly, that is a carbon copy of what Apple is trying to do.
Okay. Well, so far, this has been a great watch for me. It probably won't replace my Watch 2e, which was very sport-oriented, because that was light, and it had no sticky-outy buttons, and it was just simple and efficient, and battery life was much better than what
sticky
I've got
Sticky-outy buttons are the worst thing.
Absolute worst
especially
thing.
If you do like things where your wrist
gets bent, like lifting weights and things, or even doing a push-up. Yeah. Or even cooking and, you know, taking things out of an oven.
And when you, like, wearing it under your boxing gloves, which is
not a great idea.
Not a great idea. I've almost damaged the inside of my left wrist because of that. But yeah, like sticky-outy buttons. I'm so glad Fitbit has transitioned almost entirely away from that now.
No buttons. Yeah, so now they've got the touch sensors.
Even this that is horrible.
Yeah.
Because the water.
He's talking about the Fitbit Sense.
Yeah.
It doesn't have a physical button. It's got like a capacitive button.
It's like a little sensor
built into the side of the phone, which goes off all the time every time you touch it. It like just feels weird.
Yeah.
So the Huawei Watch 3 Pro is their top end model now. R7,500 What I like about it and what differentiates it from all my previous Huawei watches, and I've had everyone in the range, is this feels like an all-purpose health device. It's not a sports watch. It's not a fitness device. It's not a tracker. It's not a smartwatch. It's an all-round holistic health product.
Harmony,
and that totally works.
It's
Harmony OS that I've been going on about since forever. And what's great about that is that I think that's the right approach. I think don't, you know, limit yourself to sports or swimming or running or anything like that. Just make a good all-round, because 90% of people, I suspect, are in that all-round wellness kind of category.
Yeah, but again, I say you need to get a device that is going to track the metrics that is specific to you and what you are trying to achieve. For me, it is heart rate. I am wholly focused on heart rate.
Me too.
GPS as well, although I don't, after my last knee injury, I haven't been running. And I like automatic kind of workout recognition, just for running.
Okay.
So it will turn on the GPS automatically.
When you start running, it recognizes what you're trying to do.
80% of the time when I'm going out for a run, I have my dogs with me. And that, I have two working dogs, and they demand a lot of attention, so having to fiddle with the watch
doesn't help. Yeah. Oh, I love dogs, by the way. Just an aside. Okay. I've got too many of them as it is. If you want to hear them, just phone me. Every time I answer the phone, they go off.
Okay. They think someone's attacking you. Yeah, but that's kind of my thing for the week. Yes, my tip is please just buy devices that actually work for you. Consider them as investments and evaluate them like such. Don't buy into the marketing, because there's just a lot of reasons that marketers will tell you to upgrade for, and it's not the one for you.
So get the right feature set for you, and then you know that you'll have some headroom to grow with your device. Okay, I have one last work from home tip. You've heard about smart home, right? Going on and on. You've probably heard about smart light bulbs. May I recommend you try installing some smart light bulbs in your workspace if you're working from home? It's a really good way to experiment with the turning on and off, the app-driven part of it, and, you know, what the capabilities of these things are. If you put it in some other room, you probably won't spend nearly as much time in that room. But if you put it in your workspace, you can actually have them dim at the appropriate time of the evening, have them turn on at whatever time, and you can actually manage your light fitting so much better if it's in your actual workspace. You could also find some cool fun lights like the Colo light we spoke about before, which really helps enliven your Zoom calls if you've got something fun going on in the background for your Zoom.
Okay.
So if you're gonna try the smart home thing, try a few smart light bulbs. They cost maybe between 100 and 200 rand, and install them in your workspace.
Okay, that's interesting.
That's my entire story.
Yeah, that's me too. You know where to find me, Sharpshooters on social media, SHARPSCHUTTERS. That opinionguy.co.za is the website that I'm still crafting that loving letter. Because all the reviews of the M1 Max and Pro MacBooks Pro are out now. So we can just see, taking stock of like what the review that the journalists are kind of evaluating it on.
Mm.
And it's looking quite impressive. I think a lot of people are getting the idea that you can't measure this by archaic standards. You
have to, it's a whole new paradigm.
Go by like a case-by-case kind of,
Yeah, the question I'm still needing answered on the new Mac laptops is gaming. Now, we're not going to answer it now. No. We shouldn't get into it. It's a whole separate topic of discussion because it has all the hallmarks of a great gaming machine, but we don't know for sure. I need to read up some more on that. We'd be really interesting if Apple suddenly arrives in the world of gaming after many years outside of it.
Cool. That's my story.
That's all I have to say. Cheers, guys.
Bye.